Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. When our nation was established, we celebrated what was called the Puritan Sabbath. But due to the influx of immigrants from continental Europe in the 19th century and the early 20th century, the practice in America became what is called the Continental Sabbath. That is, these immigrants wanted some other alternative, some entertainment or recreational alternative to worshiping God and following the Sabbath, the Puritan Sabbath. And I might add that our nation has been none the better for the change from the Puritan Sabbath to the Continental Sabbath. Once Sunday became like any other day, we have witnessed the moral and ethical and spiritual decline of our country. We were thinking this morning about the Lord's Day, bulwark of a nation, and bulwark of your own personal life. The French atheist philosopher Voltaire said that if you want to destroy Christianity, then you must first destroy the Christian's Sunday. Now I ask you, Christian, what is happening in our nation and in our churches today? The meaning of the Sabbath is something different for the natural man than it is for the spiritual man. The natural man views Sunday as a day basically for himself. He reverses what Jesus said, for he believes that man was made for the Sabbath, that the Sabbath day is for himself. The natural man views the Lord's Day as a day which is a postscript to the end of an otherwise busy week. He views the Sabbath day as a part of a two-day weekend, at which time he may do pretty much what he wants to do. It is a day to sleep late, a day to have a large dinner, and then Super Sunday. Now, I am not denigrating any of those practices on Sunday, but what I am pointing out is that to the natural man, the Lord's Day is just a break in his routine. It is a rest from an otherwise busy week. And it is a day for himself. How often I have heard as an excuse offered for not observing the Lord's Day and being in God's house on Sunday, well, I worked so hard during the week that I deserve this time for myself. The natural man is right about one thing, And that is Sunday, the Lord's Day, is a day of rest. It is a break from the normal routine. It is a part of the cosmic structure of the universe that we have 6 days of labor, of work, and 1 day of rest. Our biological, psychological clocks require 6 days and 1 day of rest. China, Russia, France have all tried to alter the 6+1 week. France, I suppose, as a result of Voltaire's influence, tried to go to a 10-day week. 9 days of work, 1 day of rest. At the end of that experiment, they discovered that the people were so exhausted and fatigued and psychologically unable to come back to work that they had to go back to the 6+1 structure. You see, God knows exactly what you need in your life, what you need physically, what you need spiritually, what you need emotionally. You're like an automobile that needs a regular checkup. Either you can take your car in for a 6,000-mile tune-up on a regular basis, or you can keep driving it, and ultimately you will find that you've got major, major problems. Either you can observe the Lord's Day as a day of rest, as a day of being spiritually refreshed and renewed in Him, or you can keep driving and you can pay the consequences. Sooner or later, it'll catch up on you. I think one of the reasons why we hear people talking about, oh, I need to get away for a few days, is because they have failed consistently to observe the Lord's Day. The Christian looks at something, at the Lord's Day, as something more than just a break in his routine. It is that. It is a day of rest, but it is more than just a psychological rest. It is more than just a physical rest. To the Christian, the Lord's Day is a symbol. It is a symbol of his relationship with God. You remember when God created the world? In Genesis 2:3, we read, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he rested from all his work which God created and made." And so man's first priority, man's first duty, was to rest in God. The Sabbath day is not only a symbol of our relationship with God, it is also a sign that God is our Savior. In the book of Exodus 31, verse 13, we read these words, "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." So that God Himself says the reason that you and I are to observe the Sabbath is because He is our Redeemer, is our Sanctifier. When God laid down His commandments, He said, "Remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day." So that the Sabbath is to be a reminder to us that God is our Redeemer, is our Savior, and that we are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a reminder. that salvation is not by works. It is a reminder that God demands the first and prior place in our lives. You know, this year we've been talking in our church a whole lot about the good news is for sharing. That is the fact that you and I are to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are to share with friends and relatives and neighbors, that we are to be on the cutting edge of what it means to be a believer. Are you talking to your friends about Christ? Are you inviting them to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ where they can be fed and challenged and redeemed? We've been talking about that goal, and it is an all-important goal, but one pastor rightly observed that that is only the proximate goal that we have in the church. It is only the immediate goal, for what we are really after is this. We want to see men and women and young people living lives which are lives dedicated to the glory of God. That is the purpose of life. To live to the glory of God. Salvation is the means toward that, but it is the glory of God that we seek. It is the glory of God. That's why we want men and women and young folk to be in God's house on Sunday. That is the purpose and the goal of family life. That is the purpose and the goal of business life. That is the purpose and the goal of even recreation. All of it to be lived under the authority of God's Word and for His glory. Can you say this morning, yes, I know that my business is dedicated to God and for His glory? Can you say that my studies, can you say that my home is dedicated to the glory of God? Sunday is a reminder that God is the Lord and that all of life is to be for His glory, and that all of our business and all of our activities are to cease on this one day as we worship God. In the New Testament, the Old Testament Sabbath has become the Lord's Day. You know that the Sabbath means seventh. Or it also means rest or desist or cease. And it is used to describe the seventh day because God rested on the seventh day. But in the New Testament, the Old Testament Sabbath has been changed. In the Old Testament, there was a Sabbath of creation. In the New Testament, there is the Sabbath of grace. The Lord Jesus was raised on what day? Sunday, the first day of the week. The church met consistently on the first day of the week. Paul said, take up your collection, lay aside your offering on the first day of the week. Pentecost was on the first day of the week. John had his vision in the book of Revelation on the first day of the week, which he called the Lord's Day. So in the New Testament, our Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath, has become the Lord's Day, Sunday. I want to exhort you, Christian, not in a legalistic way, because we have to steer from legalism, as well we should, to observe the Lord's Day, Sunday, as God's holy day. You see, in the New Testament, there is a sense in which the Lord's day, the Sabbath, has been fulfilled. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 4, we see how Jesus becomes for us our Sabbath rest, so that the Old Testament Sabbath was a shadow, was a symbol, was a period of rest, foreshadowing that time when the Lord Jesus Christ would fulfill even that and then offer to us that absolute, that complete spiritual rest in Him. But that does not mean that we ought not to be keeping this day as a day dedicated to Him. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus taught us how we ought rightly to observe the Christian Sabbath. Not by keeping rules, not by legalistic rule keeping. In the New Testament, the Pharisees had developed over 1,500 rules for keeping the Lord's Day, the Sabbath. One rule was that you could not walk a mile beyond the city limits of Jerusalem. Another rule was you could not build a fire, nor could you put out a fire. You could not carry even a button, because that button would be a burden. But if you sewed the button on your garment, it would be all right, because it would be a part of your clothing. You see how absurd rule-keeping and rule-making becomes. Then what are we to do on Sunday? Jesus gave us a good indication and established the precedent as He went about the cities, healing, ministering, preaching, worshiping. That is what we're to do. There is a verse in the book of Acts which says, He went about doing good. Don't you like that? Jesus went about doing good. He healed on the Lord's day. He did those things that were acts of mercy and acts of necessity, as our confession of faith has it. What a precedent for visitation on Sunday. What a precedent for hospital visits and jail preaching and visiting children's homes and nursing homes and writing letters and sharing the gospel with friends and others. That is what is characteristic, and should be characteristic of the Lord's Day. Now, in our time remaining, I want to make some practical suggestions to you. Now, there are two overall practical suggestions in observing the Lord's Day. And the first is this: do everything you can to prepare for the Lord's Day. Do everything you can to prepare for the Lord's Day. Now, that means, in the first place, businessmen, that you get all your business done before Sunday. I know the arguments. I know the pressure of time. I know the need to accommodate one's schedule sometimes for the service that one is offering. But I think those arguments are baloney. I think that you can observe and can discipline your schedule in such a way that you keep the Lord's Day. And if you're in a business which requires you to work on the Lord's Day, then I question whether you are in God's will. I heard a steel executive report at a Kiwanis meeting not too long ago. He was lamenting the fact that we in our country produce so little and the quality is so poor. He said that the Japanese produce almost twice as much in less time for almost half the cost as we do. And as one of your former pastors observed, There was a time when if you got something from Japan and you looked at it, you were afraid that it might crumble in your hands before you got it home. But that's not true anymore. In fact, the quality has become so superior, seemingly, as indicated, and it's a shame to admit it, isn't it? That the reason that we ask people to buy American is not because we produce that which is better than any other nation in the world, but because it's patriotic to buy American. I believe that if in our country we observe the Lord's Day as a day of rest, that we will produce more and we will produce better than those about us. I further believe that the argument for working on Sunday, as some have indicated that there is talk about opening our mall on the Lord's Day, in order to stimulate the economy in Gadsden or in any other place, that argument is baloney. I believe it is a concession, firstly, to greed. That's why people want to abuse the Lord's Day. And secondly, it is a concession to laziness. Because there are not enough clever men and businessmen and women in our working force who are disciplined enough to do their work and to have it done. We've done it in the past, Christian and American, and we can do it again. But we have to follow God's way and not our own. Now that may cost you something, if you're willing to do that. I was working in a department store in Atlanta when I was in seminary to help supplement my income to pay tuition. It was important that I work in that department store. But that department store required myself and one other seminary student to take an inventory on Sunday. And we said, in a very humble way, could we be exempted? Could we take our inventory at night? Could we take our inventory on another day? Sunday. Either do it on Sunday or you are dismissed. We chose the latter alternative. But I don't want to leave others out. I'm not talking just to the businessmen. I want to also talk to the students. Young people, that you observe Sunday as a day of rest as well. I don't want to hold myself up as a model. My high school grades transcript was so bad, that this transcript was, it looked like a symphony in D minor, D minor, D minor, D minor, every so often F, F, F. I was one of those distinguished students who graduated a semester after everybody else, but I thought that was cool. Because I didn't care, but when I became a Christian, when God showed to me that there was another standard, and that standard was the standard of the Word of God, that made a lot of difference. And since then, I never, never, never made bad grades. Because I was studying not to make a grade, but to honor Jesus Christ with my whole life. But I want to share this with you. I never had to study on Sunday. I was studying to be a preacher. I could have studied my New Testament courses, my Old Testament courses in seminary, my theology courses and ecclesiology and so on down the line. But Sunday was a special day. And it seemed to me that it should be different from what is done on every other day of the week. And you can do it if you discipline yourself to do it. By the way, our education system in this country is in shambles. And I may go so far as to say it. It is a result of the monolithic way that our federal government and our state governments go about education. When parents do not realize that they are the ones who can have more influence in our education system in their own community schools and can influence it and change it. Did you know that we're living in a time when the parents of children who are being graduated from high school now are more educated than their sons and daughters are? In 1965, the SAT score, which is the test that students have to take in order to enter college, the SAT average was 473 per student. In 1979, that had dropped to 427. We may talk about high technology, and we may talk about the information age, we may talk about the computerized technology, but basically students today are more ignorant than they were 20 years ago. And if the parents don't do something about it, the trend will continue. What I am saying, and let me hook this in to what we are saying about the Lord's Day, that business can be done effectively and in a disciplined way and in an orderly way, and students can accomplish their education without abusing God's day. Do I need to go on, homemakers, about housework? About washing clothes. I'm trying not to be legalistic. And just accept what I'm saying as suggestions without being legalistic. What about mowing your lawn, working in the yard? I know of a minister who would not even polish his shoes on Sunday. You think, oh man, that is really extreme. But I want to tell you, as your observance of the Lord's Day goes, so goes your spiritual life. If you tell me what you do on the Lord's Day, then I can tell you how your spiritual life is drifting. That was just the first practical suggestion. And I know I'm running out of time and we're almost done. The second is this: attend the public worship services on the Lord's Day. Sunday morning and Sunday evening as well. Make that day special. Let your children see that it's completely dedicated to God and for His glory. If you have family to come in, if you have friends to visit you, invite them. Don't let them intrude into your Sunday. Plan your trips that you're in God's house as a visitor perhaps, but stop and worship this summer. Wilbur and Orville Wright, the inventors of the airplane, had the king of Spain visit them. And he said, men, will you take me up in your plane? And they said, I'm sorry, Your Honor. We never fly on Sunday. What about Coach Vince Dooley of the Georgia Bulldogs? Approached by one of the network television groups during the NFL strike, he was asked, we want to put your Bulldogs on Sunday afternoon. And he said, no, thank you. I know it'll mean a lot of money to a lot of people, but I don't believe that college football should be played on the Lord's Day. What about Truett Cathy, the owner of the Chick-fil-A system? An $80 million a year business, a dedicated, godly Christian. When he opens a Chick-fil-A in the malls throughout this nation, he will read in a contract that in that contract there is a clause which says that if you have your business in this mall, then you must, if the mall is open, then your business must be open as well. And Mr. Cathy just takes his pen and he scribbles through that. And he says, if they want my business on Sunday, then they don't want my business. Do I need to remind you of Eric, the Scotsman in Chariots of Fire, who, because of Sunday, did not run his race? Do you remember the verse that he read in that on that Sunday morning while everyone was running? He read from Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. Let me read just one verse. 31 says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. When the Reverend Leslie Weatherhead was asked to visit an old dying man, over 80 years old in England, he tried to minister the consolations of Scripture and of the Spirit to this elderly man. And the old man said, you know, during my lifetime, I did not have much time for this sort of thing. And Mr. Weatherhead said afterward, all I could think of was you had over 4,000 Sabbaths. I want to challenge you businessmen. I want to challenge you homemakers and young people that you will make the Lord's Day your delight and honor God on the Lord's Day. Let's pray.